frankly, I think the catch a lot of work on it, and did a good job of taking care of some of the problems we pointed out there, Grace. I don't think that the house is ready to move the bill until we feel it's in shape, that many questions have been raised on the bill are taken care of. I think it's foolish for us to think the bill originated due to Turkey's blessings. Corrections aren't being made, and this will be made, you know, and when it's ready to move, it will move. That's my opinion, I don't think it's going to be able to move the house before the December.
Thank you. Senator Cullen, do you have any more comments? What's the desire of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, is it essential that this bill pass or is it not? Might we keep it and consider it tomorrow?
No immediate rush on it.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Clark. Senator Clark, while you're here, would you House Bill 438 and the House Concurrent Resolution Number 20?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee, those measures were introduced in the House back the latter part of last week and acted upon just the other day. The necessary requirements to legislation that we passed last year creating the Alaska Bond Authority for the Northwest proposal. The resolution and the bill should be addressed together. They do nothing more than continue the bonding authority in the event that Congress does pass Section 103. A precaution is taken to make doubly certain that the authority does not put out for sale any bonds regarding the Northwest proposal until the legislature has been informed of all details necessary prior to the solicitation or sale of those bonds. Other than that, existing language, the House did accept a few amendments on the measure on Monday. It just reinforced and made doubly secure the intent of the original legislation. No bonds are available for sale to the public or anyone until the legislature has complete information furnished by the bond authority as to the feasibility or marketability of those bonds should Section 103 be exempted by the National Congress. The measure must be acted upon by us by Friday morning, which is the 90th day.
Any questions, concerns, questions? What they've done basically is, as I read it, they just change some of the wording on the first and second page from first to 60, or 60 to first, and then legislative approval on the last page, totally reversed the method.
Right.
Those are the three documents.
They made it a positive action.
All other language is existing language?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions, Senator Coletta? What's the extension?
To the commencement of the next legislative session. The second half of this one. Legislation made the report mandatory on the 60th day of the first session. That had to be changed to the meeting. We made it, or they made it the first day of the second session.
Okay. Any questions? start the vote now, Mr.?
Yes.
Bill Mosby, that is consent for passage of committee substitute for HCR 20 as amended. Individual recommendations.
Motion on HCR 20. Is there an objection? Without objection, so ordered. Start the vote.
Bill Mosby, that is consent for passage from committee of Detroit designation HB 438 amendment.
Right.
With individual recommendations.
Is there an objection?
Yeah, I have it.
Senator Ray? Senator Ray, this is the one that I was talking about. I was, when I mentioned, the only changes are at the bottom, when they put it through the second taxpayer section, which we can sketch it 1 year, then on the last page, under legislative approval, they've changed it vice versa, 180 type approval. They reversed the approval then. On the last page, on the legislative approval.
There has to be some affirmative action.
Right. Can you remove your objection?
Yes, sir.
Is there any other objections? Other objections, so ordered. Representative.
Set a blank.
That one. House Bill 394.
I'm listening.
394. Representative Duncan, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 394 would extend the community school program to schools which would have been without the program in the coming year. Let me briefly review the history of the Community School Act. The act is presently in statute provides that community schools, districts provide community schools can receive a percent of their foundation funding for that purpose. The first year of operation, 0.5%, the second year, 1%, the third year, 1.5%, the fourth year, 2%. That's the end of the state aid to those school districts. In the fifth year of operation, they would receive no support. My original bill, House Bill 394, would have taken away that sunset clause and allow districts to continue on at 2% level for fifth, sixth, seventh, and so on for years after fourth year. As it went through the House, there was concern expressed that the community school program wasn't functioning quite as it should. Therefore, there's the position of the House not to extend the program indefinitely, but to extend it one more year, request an audit of the community school program, and proceed from there.
Senator,
I would move to put out session.
Thank you. Let me ask just one question. What were the problems? I see the letter from Tom Buckle, but problems that...
I can't...
House bill to where, in community school projects.
I can't enumerate all the problems. There were concerns of two or three other house members, not of mine. And one of the problems that I can call Ralph Hand was because community school money would be used for travel instead of for the program. We have requested audit on it, it's underway.
Is there any objection to the motion?
Just, what is the cost on your FY80, Mr. Chairman?
It's in our budget.
$2 million?
Mr. Chairman, the cost is whatever the...
Senator Hackett, you have it.
Right.
Just remove the zero, but let's say, just change it.
That we appropriate.
Mr. Chairman, this is the fourth year. Up to 2% of the support. Grant, which is not less than the grant paid to the school district during the fiscal year ending 79, June 30th. That's FY79. And if those schools, those districts could participate at the funding level, which is indicated in the original bill, 2% of the school foundation support. That means that, which we're talking about, the maximum impact of the 2% of about $200 million.
Mr. Chairman, I might respond, I might be correct from the department on this, but the governor submitted a budget of 1.174. That funding level will cover this legislation, will cover this bill and the community schools program as operating. All districts will receive at least the same level they had last year. The four districts that are going to drop out will receive funding also.
So if all districts were participating, it would be about 2%. Charges of $200 million.
Yes.
Apparently, we have school districts that, Mr. Chairman, aren't participating. So it's
only one. No, the problem is that we've never ever funded it to its total percentage. Once or twice we did attempt and the government gave me it back. And so it's never been funded to its total, either 1 or 1.5% or 2% in previous years.
Well, what percent of the total entitlement do we?
Okay. What's the present fiscal year budget?
1.875.
Present for fiscal year 79?
1.875.
What's the existing?
Full entitlement is 100%. What percentage are we funding the program?
51%.
51%? How many districts are not participating?
36 are participating out of the 52.
52. And those 36 districts represent what percent of the school population?
Probably 80. All the major districts are on. All the major districts are on. It's a number of the smaller districts that are not.
Why aren't they on?
The district has not chosen to participate.
Then the district also, don't they contribute?
No.
They can or cannot. It's up to them. There's no mandate at this point that they participate, or that they put up local effort.
Do the majority of them, of the districts, will they contribute now?
I would say about half or better participate with local effort. The major districts are contributing rather heavily.
But what I'm trying to get across is that if you don't have local contribution, you don't really have the program, essentially.
In some respects, yes. And the REAs have no problem.
The actual this year, by the way, is $1,212.7. And the request by the governor for this year, for fiscal year 80, is $1,137.9. And none of them come close to the 4%. Do you have a question there, George?
Yes.
I was speaking to Mr. Powell. Put one for the father and give one to the senator. Okay, do you make any objection?
I have another question. In your town, does this support the city of Rex program? City Department of Rex program?
I don't think, well, it doesn't support Parks and Recreation. I think community schools, Parks and Recreation, kind of work together to provide programs and funding of rent for schools. Parks and Recreation Department is funded by the city of Earl, so. I don't think that's a question, but that's what you're asking.
So, does it support basketball in the availability? I think it does.
You want to?
I remove my objection.
Okay, is there further objection? Without objection, then motion is put it out with individual recommendations. Senator Ferguson, action SR 7.
Mr. Chairman, I've gone up to the legislative affairs and have Bill Berry draft the amendment that would be inserted to, on page 2, line 25, which would ensure that the state negotiate the exchange of small earth stations for television service prior to its withdrawal of state applications for state air stations. And I've asked the committee to adopt the amendment.
Does everyone have a copy of the amendment? Is there an objection? Without objection, I'll move the resolution out with individual recommendations.
As amended. I'd like to just state at the end that Augie Hebert, the American Television, Al Bamstead, the Midnight Sun, Wayne Triplett, the KIMO TV, Dennis Egan, the Juno TV, Hank Pugh, attended the Telecommunications Task Force meeting this last week and all indicated to me that they supported the resolution.
Okay. Thank you so much. Right, it's in
House Bill 147. That's the one that's still in Ziegler's committee. Remember the ruckus?
Senator Ferguson, would you explain the proposed committee substitute that's being passed out now and how it's different from the original bill? Because we've had this bill up here before.
Chairman. Mr. Chairman, under section 2, AS 2010-011, number 11, the attempt here is we have a number of complaints from the rural areas of the state whereby these communities do not connect to the state highway system and they're forced to buy license plates. This would allow for the exemption of those communities that do not connect to the state highway system not to have to purchase license plates. I've contacted Community and Regional Affairs and revenue sharing. They require that a registered vehicle must be present before they can issue under revenue sharing maintenance funds.
Does anybody serve on state affairs? Okay, state affairs evidently took the House bill, which looks almost identical to the work draft, and they put in the total motor vehicle code. Brad Bradley, Ziegler, Mulcahy, Tim Kelly, and Pat Rowley. And I don't know whether or not they, I don't know what they did, whether they pulled the bill out of Sunday's committee or not, I'm not sure.
Tell you what, we're going to have to research this before we take this up aside.
But anyway, the proposal that we had was Malone's bill, was taking Malone's bill and adding the part on there that was we're trying to take care of the situation where they're charging for license fees in the small villages that don't have state roads. That was the intent of what we were attempting to do with just our little amendment. But then in the meantime, state affairs got total municipal coding, vehicle code in there. Ed, could you by tomorrow take a look at that language and see if, you know, where it comes from and what it is and stuff like that, because you've worked on this before.
I don't recognize it anymore.
Okay, and I'll have
to. I know
staff.
The problem that you were speaking of, and there's no problem with that. But they did take out an awful lot. Somebody got lost here.
Yeah, I don't know.
That wasn't been done in state affairs.
Yeah, no, they put it in an awful lot. Look at the Senate Committee Substitute, for Committee Substitute for House Bill 147 by State Affairs.
Now, all this was originally in my original bill.
By the State Affairs Committee?
I got it to State Affairs. I'm trying to think right now. This thing's been kicked around so many times.
I know.
So many bills. But I know we passed one out here. Which one did we pass out?
We passed out one that was in Senator Ziegler's committee. That it was basically pulling the bill out of his committee.
Yeah, but we went back into the chair
and I think we did. Okay, what I'm asking is by tomorrow, would you research that whole history and see what state affairs did? And then with the state affairs committee, you know, we'll figure out if it's acceptable or not. Then we'll make another committee substitute out of it.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to add that I contacted the Community and Regional Affairs and the Revenue Sharing Program for maintenance systems. Small communities that they do require that you have a registered vehicle there, but they have no problem with it's a regulation that they have, and they would amend that if we just notify them that we are or when the bill passes, and they would change that part of the regulation.
That they would.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. We have three bills on the calendar, and we'll meet 9 o'clock tomorrow. Without objection, we'll take up House Bill 195. Mr. Anderson is here.
Good
House Bill 195 is an act provided for an advisory committee on judicial sentencing practicing. Mr. Anderson, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I don't know how far you want me to get into this, but I think basically what I can say very briefly is that the House Bill 195 is intended to investigate study that came out by the Judicial Council in August 1978. The study started out to be a study on plea bargaining and came up with some information that inferred very strongly that minorities were, at least the Judicial Council's findings, had apparent discrimination in sentencing of minority persons convicted of crimes in the courts of the state. And the intent of House Bill 195 is to create an advisory committee on judicial sentencing practices and identify as a universe of people, that's those people who are convicted of felony sentences, would start from August 1976 and end July 1st, 1979. And the intent is to take that information and data, expand it, and look into whether or not the conclusions reached by that report are in fact true and valid. And the other thing is that the Advisory Committee on Judicial Sentencing Practices would be make recommendations to the legislature on what actions to take if in fact the conclusions reached by that first study are true. At this point in time, I want to make clear to the committee that, as far as I am concerned, the efforts on my part are not to indict any judges or to question the system. It is only to make a determination on whether or not that first study was, in fact, true and valid, and to take that very same information and again run it in front of people who can analyze that data. And the companion bill, House Bill 196, would hire those people that would make those kinds of evaluations and statistical analyses. And basically, Mr. Chairman, that's the summary of the intent of House Bill number 195. I'd like to bring to the attention of the committee some of the problems that have occurred since the bill was first introduced on the House side. It was introduced. Three bills were introduced on the House side that were treated as a package: House Concurrent Resolution Number 5, House Bill Number 195, and House Bill Number 196. Since that time, it looked as though the Criminal Justice Planning Agency had money available to offset the state's contribution to the Advisory Committee on Judicial Sentencing Practices funding. And I looked into that and found that although there is approximately $55,000 available, there is no guarantee that that money will be available. And further, Mr. Chairman, the disbursement of that $55,000 of federal funds requires approval of the Judicial Council at a meeting in June that they're planning. And the application, I think, has been made, but there's been no approval from the feds that the Criminal Justice Planning Agency has this money available. I understand also that grants from this source of funding would compete with any other request and would be susceptible to an emergency request for use of those criminal justice planning funds. I also understand that the grant application for sentencing study is subject to modification, addition to, and or deletion of the plan of study by the Judicial Council as it's intended under HCR 5 and House Bill Number 195. And the other question that opens up is who would own the final report of the study and thus the editorial control if federal funds were used. I enter this into the record, Mr. Chairman, to clarify some of the problems that may have occurred or may have questioned the validity of my efforts to get state funds for this purpose.
Senator Ray?
Mr. Chairman, this might seem to be a superfluous amendment, and I'd like to propose, but I think structuring the committee and the reason that it's being put forward is for minority groups. And rather than to have a broad title of Advisory Committee on Judicial Sentencing Practices, I think perhaps in order to better clarify it and identify it in its proper perspective, that we should add to the word Minority Advisory Committee on Judicial Sentencing Practices, because that's really what it is, so there wouldn't be any confusion.
Wouldn't it be Advisory Committee on Minority Judicial Sentencing Practices?
Something like that, or the Minority Advisory Committee, either would be the place. Well, you know what I'm saying, but I think that we should clearly identify for the purpose, for what it is. So it wouldn't be any problem. That's a vehicle response.
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, between on and judicial.
Well, it's all spread out all through the bill there when we're talking about the Advisory Committee.
Okay.
So maybe the Advisory Committee on Minority Judicial Sentencing Practices. That would it.
Right.
Specifically identified, as the makeup is six priorities and three from this could be from anything.
Right, all minorities.
Yeah, it could very well be all from the minorities.
Okay.
I would make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Is there an objection to that? Without objection, so ordered.
Then I would move that we would put it out with the individual recommendations.
Motion to put out an individual recommendation. Nels, did you also request an amendment on the line 20 and 24, or is that the verdict as it is?
Mr. Chairman, at this point, I believe we should just leave it as it is, unless I can work out the proper language.
Without objection, individual recommendation. An act related to unemployment insurance with an effective date. Senator Ferguson, you have the floor.
Mr. Chairman, in drafting Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 177, the Senate Labor Management Committee took House Bill 177 amended without changing it, and then attached the Governor's House Bill 214 with the following changes. We deleted reference to corporate officers, and whereby the Governor's bill would have allowed for the department to seek attachment of corporate officers' holdings where a corporation go bankrupt. I was feeling that the corporations were set up to, in a sense, protect the corporate officers. We also changed the benefit schedule, allowing the minimum to be at $42 and the maximum to be at $110, with a dependency allowance of $20 per dependent, with a maximum of three dependents. The Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 177, we believe, provides adequate benefits to claimants while holding the cost to the business community to a minimum. The original Governor's House Bill 214 was at a cost of about 35%, whereas the committee substitute pulls it down to approximately 25. That was the committee substitute, I believe, is about the best compromise that can be made between labor and the business community. As I mentioned earlier, allowing for an increase in the benefits for claimants and keeping the cost down. The fiscal note for House Bill 214 is about $100,000 more for the original bill than it is for the committee substitute. The fiscal note also indicates in the future years to come that it will be less costly to the state. Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill, or House Bill 177 amended, was the only vehicle that I had on the Senate side with the same title to include unemployment insurance. I believe that we should enact an unemployment insurance bill taking care of or providing for benefits to be increased to the claimants. Therefore, I attached House Bill 214 to House Bill 177. The governor introduced both bills on the House side, and we did not have a vehicle over here. And at this time, although we're not to talk about the other House, they have not finally completed their work on the unemployment insurance bill, and I'm afraid that they're going to be coming in right at the last minute of the session and saying, you have to act on this, and we will not have the work on the unemployment insurance bill. If there are any questions, I would entertain them at this point.
Questions, Senator Ferguson? Senator Sumner, and then Senator Wright.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 177 is in the form that you've been talking about.
Yes, it is.
Senator Ray?
Mr. Chairman, I know since in the analysis in Section 13, change 4, what does this mean? Section extends the denial of benefits to the school terms to non-professional employees and based on the condition of
language. What it is, my understanding of the school districts can opt out on their non-professional workers during the summer months when they're not in session, which is a high cost to the school district. In other words, less people work for the school year. School district can opt out for the unemployment insurance. One other feature that I think that should be mentioned at this time in the committee is that in one of the backup material that I've sent you is that we have 11,294 people that draw unemployment insurance that do not live in the state of Alaska at the time that they're drawing these benefits. And that is a very high cost to the state. My understanding during the pipeline construction years is that we were spending approximately $42 million for claimants living outside of the state. Many of these people were construction workers that went on the pipeline, worked for a certain period of time, and left for the states and were eligible to claim benefits from the state of Alaska.
Further question?
I'm going to ask unanimous consent that we pass the Senate Committee substitute for House Bill number 177 with individual recommendations.
Is there an objection? Without objection.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you. Senate put the Senate Bill 250? Oh, okay, what is here? Excuse me. House Bill 147? You ready on that, Ed? You ready on that?
I don't have it yet.
Senator Wilson, do you want to testify to the portion that we worked on?
Mr. Chairman, on page 1, starting with the bottom line, in section 11, which reads, driven or moved on a highway vehicle is raised, not connecting the state highway system established under AS 1910-20. What it is, Mr. Chairman, is that small communities do not have highway systems in them or connecting would be exempt from having to purchase license plates in the state.
That's just an explanation to the committee. That was the problem that we're having, for example, in Galena, where we don't have state roads, but yet the legislation that we passed last year mandated the department to have license plates for all of the residents there. And but if we do have, but if any community does have a public road or state maintained road, then they would have to pay for the license plate. The other portions of the bill have Ed, Senator Danforth, to explain.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you might, the committee may remember, we had a pretty thorough discussion on this bill at some time. If we hadn't returned it back, it was here before us, and I think Senator Ray has probably, he knows that. And because I think I got off the post of pulling one out of the committee, so we got into it and he run back to the circle again. But the bill hasn't changed a bit since we passed it out here, other than what Senator Ferguson just talked about. The vehicle that the CHIS bill basically is taking care of that $20 license special plate where people would be charged every year for the same plate. It goes into setting up, as the old statute did, when Uber, I believe it was, Senator Uber did a great deal of work on that. 28, and there was some errors in it, the public safety and revenue and this correct one though is particularly it went back to some
I have no quarrel with the vehicles and villages.
going to get in the way here. I don't know, but it seemed to me that there are possibly roads that are not connected to state highway systems that are getting state support and maintenance.
We couldn't find any. We looked at two alternatives. We looked at this method by which to approach it, and we looked at the approach of stating whether or not any road is getting public funds.
I mean, that, Mr. Chairman, is right there, and maybe we should have the language for roads or road systems that do not have state funds. That would be a way to have, rather than the piece of projects. Because I don't know what the state highway system is.
Oh, right. Okay, what do you run into in a situation like that is, for example, you know, most of the villages, the airport may be a quarter of a mile to a mile away, trying to find the flattest ground. In some instances, they have used local service road funds to construct that road, but they've never maintained it. And for a quarter of a mile, in some cases for an eighth of a mile, they're required by a driver's license, license plate.
You have to say currently funded or maintained then.
Just as an amendment.
What would happen if we use the word currently funded or maintained?
Would that apply, Mr. Chairman, to all communities receiving this money under the municipal revenue sharing program?
$59 a mile.
I know.
You can maintain under that same program, ICER, all three of those.
The way it's written then, who would get a free trip under the way it's written right now?
I don't know. That was my question. I don't know what the state highway system.
I don't know.
It's pretty broad the way that it's
right, it is, but we're trying to determine, for example, we went through Southeastern and everything is connected, you know, by the ferry system.
How about Cordova?
And they've got a state, how much?
They do have a state highway department in Cordova because the road, you know, going out. If I might, John, I had some experience in this regard one time.
Go ahead.
I had a little patch in the gold mining area at the end sit in the river with state policemen come bouncing into one morning and cited everybody. And, you know, I guess in territorial times there might have been some territorial input into it, you know, because the gold miners were served, so there hadn't been one for a decade or more. And we just sort of negotiated. I said, hey, now, you guys, they're running a cat up and down the road themselves. There's nothing here. It's service to these gold miners. And they backed away from the citation. Although those statutes specifically did require that they do what they did, they snuck in one morning and cited about 14 different vehicles. And of course, it became a problem of mine immediately. And they negotiated away from it that time. They weren't getting any revenue sharing or anything for that.
Just reminded me of the Yakutat before it was called out and he wanted permission to move the cat across the road. And he said he couldn't get the permission to do it. I don't know if you were. So I got him the permission, and that was one of the biggest uproars there to have. The guy took the cap and run it up the middle of the road and run to moving a house and put up the whole road for about 3 miles. He was just going to move the cat across the road. Well, he got it across the road 3 miles up and tore the whole thing up.
Senator Dankwood?
Well, we could quit playing with him. All roads are
driven or moved on a highway or vehicle or way not connected to the state highway system established under AS 1910-20. AS 1910-20, the department may designate, locate, create, or determine what highways constitute the state highway system. In designating, locating, creating, and determining the several routes of the state highway system, the department shall strive to attain the purposes and objectives set out in AS 1910-5.
So they can designate, they determine, make an individual assessment, this would be covered by ours.
That was what I was trying to get at. Bill, your designation, your regulation. Think under what for the...
Question for the Blythe's, I move Senate Committee...
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hackney?
I mislaid my original copy of that bill. Wasn't there a provision in there to allow to recoup the 20 bucks that returns last year in the original bill?
No, I didn't, it's not in this version where you can go back and...
Where is it? No, what's the original version?
There's about five original versions.
The only additional is language that I remember, Mr. Chairman, is what was in there on the special request, but it's being described as a paragraph.
I remember there is, well, I got it, I have it, so can I read it? Committee substitute for House Bill 147, which is by the Finance Committee, came out with Section 1, which is identical. Section 2, a person who paid a fee in 1979 for special request claims other than the fee authorized under AS 2810-42-D2 in Section 1 of this Act is entitled to a refund of the amount collected in excess of the fee authorized under this section. Refunds due under Section 2 of this Act shall be paid on or before May 31st, 1979. Now, State Affairs put that out.
Mr. Chairman, if I remember the discussion, right, we were going to allow that reimbursement, except we had to buy some skis or something.
That's where that money went. Went to that nutritionist who skied at Alyeska.
Chairman,
how come you get red every time, lad?
I don't cover the amount of those skis. I got my
Okay, without objection.
Move and ask unanimous consent that we pass Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 147, Finance, with individual recommendation.
Without objection, so ordered. Glenn, you're going to get that for 2 years.
You've never heard that.
I would be even here.
Use it in your campaign, Glenn. I supported the skiers.
Chairman, can you help Senator Bowen out?
Without objection, I'd like to bring up Senate Bill 250. Beverage Control Board from 1979 to 1983 for the next 4 years. Senator Ray, you've been doing some work on Title IV. Do you have a recommendation on this?
Yes, sir. I would move that we put it out.
Let me ask a question. Where are you in Title IV?
Title IV is the bill of Jim. It has been referred to the subcommittee on Title IV Court Reviews for interference in the same manner that they did with the criminal court.
Okay. Do you have the performance review that was done by Budget and Audit?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And I've had several discussions with the people from Budget and Audit, and I pointed out that they had been in error where they were trying to set policy and not just report audit performance.
Well, it was a performance audit, you said policy, unfortunately. Well, I think we gave them that leeway, and whether we agree with it or not, I know I don't agree with it totally, but I think we gave them that leeway.
Well, I'll explain to you where I thought some people who aren't really familiar, they don't use common sense, when they said that they're, by having two members from the industry on, there would be a collusion, and they could run the affairs of the board, and this was so far out that I just reversed it and said, if they had two preachers on, you know what they did. If they could run the board,
how about skiers?
Two skiers would run away with everything.
They've been downhill from that point on.
There were several things in there that I discussed with you.
Without objection, I'd like to bring up House Bill 307.
We did correct, Governor, we did correct.
I'm sorry, sir, we're going to hold it till Monday.
I can be prepared tomorrow to go through the title form, it would probably take an hour and a half, 2 hours.
That's okay, I'd like you to come up here.
I would, I think possibly it would be informative to the city before we go.
Just sit right there and talk into the tape.
And we're now over there.
Because we'll all be gone.
Remember Victor Gray?
Yes, I remember what we did to him, I know. He was down there.
Hungover. Talking away, and one guy get up, and pretty soon we're all standing out in the hall.
He's still talking away.
He's still going, that's fine.
Who's crazy, what happened, where's everybody going, the one that's all in there?
Not a secretary.
Not a secretary.
Nobody.
We've been there for a long.
All right, let's get the sheriff on and put it in as a amendment.
House Bill 19.
Which one were we holding, 307?
Yeah, put that on Monday.
George, I'm not going to be here Monday.
You're not going to be here?
She's, yeah, you're here. How many people are going to be here Monday? Senator Bennett.
I want to get that confirmation of Houston out of the way.
What?
Brian.
Were we supposed to?
He's up here, yeah, we never did get with him.
Well, that's why we didn't come.
Yeah.
Just let him read the first part of that. He'll die when he reads that.
We made up one for each legislator.
With the appeal of his district. Yes.
House Bill 19 relates to agricultural and industrial affairs. Increases it from $25,000 for each fair, having, well, you see the deletion there, $8,000 for other fairs annually, up to a basic grant of $10,000 fairs in existence for 5 years or longer may receive an increment grant not to exceed $2,500 a year of existence beyond 4 years to a maximum of $75,000.
How many fairs do we have now?
Anyway, listen to this. They deleted $25,000. So you have a basic grant of 10 years. However, fairs in existence are $10,000. However, fairs in existence are 5 years or longer may receive an increment grant not to exceed $2,500 a year of existence beyond 4 years. So you add, that would be $10,000 more. How do you get up to a maximum of $75,000?
After you've been in existence for 100 years.
Yeah, but you can't get more than 4 years.
Oh, a year of existence beyond, they get, I don't know, the way I'm calling it.
Okay.
They get $2,500 a year after 4 years.
Okay, not to exceed $2,500 a year of existence beyond 4 years.
Well, I'll take 30 years. Basic man, power of affairs in existence, 5 years or longer, may receive an increment not to exceed $2,500 a year of existence. This means a year of existence beyond 4 years.
Yeah, okay, 4 years beyond that?
Yeah.
30 years, yeah.
It could be interpreted year. Both ways, don't you agree?
It's a little bit flaky.
You should say for each year.
Write it out straight.
Well,
and say,
look at who the sponsor is.
Maybe we should change that, just put it out in the straight language, after it's been 5 years, you get $2,500 a year.
It's like for each year after 4 years. You want to make sure they're going to be around.
Yeah.
We had something like this come through, and it went through resources, I'm sure, talking about players. I don't have the number you.
You got a better language, too?
We just knock out the beyond 4 years.
67, something like that?
Okay, that would be.
May receive an increment grant not to exceed $2,500 a year of existence to a maximum of $75,000. I think that's beyond 4 years, is what.
No, can I do it?
That was the one.
I think the language is terrible.
It's really a poorly written.
You move beyond 4 years, John.
Huh?
Does that make sense, if you just took out beyond 4 years?
Is this one of their prior requests?
One of mine.
Basic grant of $10,000, however, pairs in existence 5 years or longer may receive an increment grant not to exceed $2,500 a year of existence to a maximum of $75,000.
That was terrible.
I think what they were trying to probably specialize with something there, just by taking the words beyond 4 years, I think that satisfied. In other words, if you've been in 5 years.
You get qualified, right?
Yeah.
Is that a pretty fast graduation, though?
For $2,500 a year? No.
A year, $2,500 a year?
No, not the way fair costs are. $2,500 just for anything, even though they charge a lot at the gate.
Okay, you make that amendment, Bill.
I do.
Is there objection to taking out the words beyond 4 years? Without objection, that's out. William?
The Associate House Bill 19, amended, Finance Committee.
Which way?
Draft. House or Senate, like you say.
They get it both, huh? Okay, that computes our calendar for today.
Thank you. I'm going to tell you 24 pairs.
Monday, we'll have a bill session, if there are four people here, and here.
We will have a bill session Monday.
Remember that one that they were definitely doing the bill.
And Fair Bank.
Fair Bank's going to have to go.
You won't be here at?
Sorry, the anchor job.
And this, don't forget to put the other words, and Galena.
Okay, I'll get together to make that decision, make the grant decision, yeah. Can you tell me where you're going?
I went back to.
Back to, yeah. Call the meeting to order. Senate Finance, Monday, April 16th. We have before us committee substitute for House Bill 32, special appropriation to the Power Project Revolving Fund of the Alaska Power Authority. Is there anyone here that wishes to testify on that bill?
We have this available in case you need us, Mr. Chairman, but I believe that you've already taken extensive testimony on this bill. I couldn't have anything to what I've already said, sir.
Mr. Chairman? Any comments of Senator Hackney?
I noticed that if this made its way through the process, there were a couple of additions that were made
keep the bill. And, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to suggest to you that the Upper Chena River Flood Control and Power Project is one that certainly would have a great deal of effect on interior Alaska, on the price of power in that area. And we have modest demands in that area. I think the figure that we came up with is about $12 million. And I'd like to move that that would be added to this.
Are we ready to vote? I'm sorry, Senator, but you don't have a vote on this committee.
I know. Can I have
all in favor of the motion?
There's a big one coming. There's a big one.
You want to sit? You want to take a seat over in the side of the room, Senator? Your presence here is terribly disruptive of a good, efficient committee action.
It's never happened in the judiciary, would it?
Committee substitute for House Bill 32. Is there a motion on the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I would move to pass the bill out with the pass recommendation.
Without the amendment?
Individual recommendation, Mr. Chairman.
Individual recommendations. How many due passes do we have? How many individual, or no recs, really? How many do not passes do we have? Other bills on the agenda for today's meeting. Without objection, I'd suggest we have the confirmation hearing on Mr. William Hudson. Mr. Hudson, I don't know how to lead into this, but you've had experience in state government and I suppose in other areas too, but I'm familiar with you as the director of the Division of Marine Transportation. Perhaps you can give us a short resume that the committee would like to question you further.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Bill Hudson. I'm a product of the U.S. Coast Guard, born and raised in the mountains of Idaho. Most of my experience before military service was in the mines, hard rock mines, northern Idaho. Joined the U.S. Coast Guard in 1950, having come to Alaska before that time, worked for a guide out of Dot Lake, worked up in the interior for about 9 months. I fell in love with Alaska at that point in time. I joined the Coast Guard as an enlisted man. Went through training in California. Duties and responsibilities while I was in the service. I ran a training center on the West Coast. Matter of fact, the only training center for Coast Guards in the west of the Mississippi. I had about 2,000 young American recruits in there, Coast Guard recruits at that point in time. Probably my first major administrative assignment was in that post. Had several Class A and B schools, had over 100 instructors, quite a number of company commanders. I headed up the Coast Guard's effort in training for Vietnam. We trained all of the Coast Guardsmen headed for Vietnam at our training center. I spent just a little time over there myself. I commanded four different ships myself, headed up the American Coast Guard mission in Liberia, West Africa, for about 3 years, working for the Liberian government directly with the American ambassador, and recruited and trained with the aids of two chief petty officers, some 250 young African Coast Guardsmen. We built our own buildings, we set up our own training programs, developed the entire military mission program for the U.S. Coast Guard, or the Liberian National Coast Guard at that point in time. I've also worked with something like 4,500 civilian volunteers with Coast Guard Auxiliary during my period in the military. But mostly, I guess, I was at sea on the coast of Alaska here. I sailed all the way from Point Barrow to just about any place you can name as far as the coast is concerned. I retired from the Coast Guard in 1972 and came back to Alaska. My wife from the Kenai Peninsula, several of her children were born up there, raised up in that neck of the woods, so we found out it's our natural home. We purchased property up on the Kenai River. I went to work for the Kenai Natives Association as a business manager and helped them set up their first boarding home program that preceded, I think, a lot of the school projects that are currently in the mill at the present time. Also Indian Action Team programs, things of this nature. My first real touch into state government was with the Marine Highway System, where I was appointed director in 1974, late 1974. In that capacity, as you all know, I dealt with a budget comparable to the one that we have in administration at the present time, and dealt with a statewide program. In general, Mr. Chairman, that's sort of where I come from.
Questions of Mr. Hudson? Senator Rick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hudson, you and I have had some association in the past.
Sure.
And I recognize the difficulties that you had in the, as the director of the Marine Transportation System. And I know that the, there were several times that you attempted to do things and were forced to. Do you feel that in your new job that you're going to take an active and aggressive role and be able to make direct and competent decisions on Veterans Department?
Yes, sir. I feel that the talent is in place. Some of the best people in state government, like the Director of Finance, Internal Audit, those people are in place. And I feel if I've learned one thing in the military is leadership, and I think this would be a position where I can take a direct hand.
You were working under some difficulties before, and I understand that.
Yes, sir.
I certainly would not hold them against you.
Thank you, sir.
Senator Dankert?
Well, as you know, there's a lot of feeling around the state and the business community. Some of it's true, and some of it's probably exaggerated about the state spending a great deal of their money and 2 years' supply department outside the state. What is your philosophy?
I think the new House Bill 114, which is a preferential treatment to the Alaska vendors, is going to be the guidelines that we have. And it's one, Senator, that I can readily sense with. If anything at all, I'd rather become an advocate in behalf of Alaska business in the Hammond administration. I do feel as if one necessary. And I think that Commissioner Weber and I, as a matter of fact, both sit very closely in that respect. So I believe you'll see us try to streamline the purchasing regulations and the whole procedures to try to bring along some of the smaller Alaskan businesses so that they can compete for some of the bucks. As Senator Ray knows, we brought probably the first real touch base of marine maintenance into Alaska when everybody, including even the crew members, we're saying it can't be done, it can't be done. And yet we brought in something like five or six ships to be overhauled in Alaska this last winter, and frankly, I think it worked out quite nicely. So So we can do a lot more, and we certainly intend to.
You don't have any problems with 114?
Perhaps if it doesn't slow down the business of state too much. That's one of the things that I've noticed in my new job here at Interate, is that there seems to be so many loopholes or so many avenues that have to be pursued. We need to streamline that whole process so that we can move it on. I would hope at any rate that 114 doesn't require that we double advertise. If we can, we don't want to penalize the Alaskan tax dollars as well as the tax for the people. I don't see anything that we can't deal with at all.
I think probably what you're saying, I think most what concerned most in the past is the attitude. You know, most of it's an attitude. And I appreciate your attitude there. If your attitude is one that you have a training on Alaska, then of course you don't have any problems. But I know that the general business community, particularly in Anchorage, would like to speak of generally things that the attitude is right in that department. That is far as far as
I can assure you, some of the attitude has already changed.
There are no other questions. Thank you, Mr. Hudson. Raised before the committee, committee substitute House Bill 66, providing an exemption for senior citizens from payment for land leased from the state. Is there someone here to testify on that bill?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Chadwick.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm Chad Chatterton, a representative from District 10, and I'm here before you to testify in favor of House Bill 66. Mr. Chairman, I appreciate you and your committee taking the time to hear this. The intent of the bill, Mr. Chairman, is to try and bring parity, if you like, between for senior citizens, regardless of where they live, these are people over 65 years of age, as far as the state treats them in respect to their property taxes. In your folders, you have a copy of the Chapter 97 of the Session Law of 1977, which forgives property, real property taxes, for persons over 65, residents of the state of Alaska, for that property upon which they make their abode. Mr. Chairman, you also have in your packet here a copy of Title 29, Chapter 73060, which also provides for a property tax equivalent payments of up to $375 per year for persons over 65 who are making their home in rented facilities. And so to carry that same type of parity through, the intent of House Bill 66 is to forgive the annual lease rental to the state of Alaska for a place where a person over 65 is making his home. Now, you also have a fiscal note prepared for the House finance, which is zero, because of there's no cost involved. There will be a loss of revenue, which is somewhat indeterminate. The Division of Lands, Department of Natural Resources, did testify that their best guess is this might apply to about a dozen and a half people throughout the state of Alaska. And of course, annual lease rentals of these lands are on the order of less than $1,000 or so a year. I'm sure of that, much less. And with that direct, Mr. Chairman, I'll stand for any questions.
Questions of Representative Chapman? Senator Rick?
No. Thank you, Representative Chapman. In the second page there, the legislature shall annually appropriate the general fund to a trust fund. Yeah. What's the question need for that? But on the thing, what is the trust fund?
Mr. Chairman, in the event that in the event any of these lands that are being leased, Mr. Chairman, very frankly, I can't answer that. Mr. Chairman, I think I do now, if I may. Is any of these lands that are being leased are on lands that would be involved where there was a trust fund involved, where the income from the lands would go to a trust fund that would be reimbursed from the pension fund? The end of the rental was, in other words, if there was, for example, a university land.
University land.
Would be one example. Matter of fact,
you're not, you're not talking about university land. The university land is separate from state land. Are you just talking about state land here?
You're talking only about state land. Mr. Chairman, Senator Ray would...
Maybe we better put in the university land, something like that. And if they're on the university land, then you go ahead and get the money into the trust fund and take care of those people, something like that. What I'm saying.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, that could happen. What's got me a little bit worried here is this could have happened before we took the mental health and the public education lands out of the trust situation. I think it was an action of this body last year.
Chairman,
Senator,
I thought, I don't think it would be like a problem. Perhaps we could just hold this over until tomorrow and have the staff look and see exactly what the relationship, and if there is something we can put in there for university land, or if it's necessary to do that, we'll go ahead and include that in there so it protects those people that are able to.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, that certainly is agreeable to me, and I apologize for not being smarter on that.
Well, I didn't.
All right. Without objection, we'll direct staff to do that, and maybe Representative Chatterton, if you want to look at it and see. Are you 3 days off and a little too much?
No.
We'll hold this. We'll reschedule it for the next bill session.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Committee substitute for House Bill 107, supplemental appropriation for the payment of miscellaneous claims. That bill has not been assigned. Senator Nankwitz, would you like that to your subcommittee for is there someone here to testify on it?
Department of Health and Social Services.
$72,094.99 from the Department of Health and Social Services. Would you come up and tell us about that? Would you identify yourself and present?
Douglas Goldbach, Finance Officer for the Department.
About your $72,000.
The majority of it is medical bills provided either under the general relief, Medicaid, or handicapped children's program. And I don't know if I could have a listing of them, but I don't know if I could address each one of them individually.
I see. Just let me catch up with that.
That was submitted.
What's it look like?
It should be a listing that lists the vendor, the invoice number, date of service, the amount, the date we received it, and the code in which it's recharged to.
Okay.
any member had yet that you found?
No, I'm trying to find it.
Hold it, we got, let's see, oh, you've got an individual.
The majority of them are late bills that came in over the last year. Reason for it, either it was a lost billing or lost inside. It should not be a bill that was lost inside the state system. It would be a bill that was lost inside the vendor's office or was never billed to us. For some unknown reason, the beginning of this calendar year, every doctor in the state must have gone through their records. And since the original supplemental was requested, we received over $20,000 worth of bills, and each of them